Outside the splendid city of Prague, out in the rolling hills, there lived a poor shepherd. He lived alone with his daughter, who everyone called Clever Manka. The shepherd did his best to make a good living, and at one time, he had the good fortune, so he thought, to get some extra work from a wealthy man just down the road. In exchange, the shepherd would receive a heifer. But when the time came to receive his payment, the wealthy man would not pay, and so he was forced to take the case to the burgomaster, who resolved all disputes. They went to the center of the city and stood before the burgomaster. He was new to his post, a young man, and although he could see at once that the heifer was owed to the shepherd, well, he was not comfortable offending the rich man. And so very cleverly, he said that he would put a riddle to them. Whoever returns at this time tomorrow with the best answer will be the owner of the heifer. The riddle is this: what is the swiftest thing in the world? What is the sweetest thing? And what is the richest? Both men went home in poor spirits. The wealthy man stormed into his house. "Whatever is the matter? Didn't he give you the heifer?" asked his wife. "No, he certainly didn't. Instead, he gave me a riddle. I'll never solve it. The old burgomaster would have handed me over the heifer without any questions, and I would have sent him a bushel of pears. But now I have a riddle to solve."
"Well, perhaps we can solve it together. What is it?"
"He wants to know what the swiftest thing in the world is, the sweetest thing, and the richest. I'm sure I have no idea."
"Oh, but husband, that isn't too hard. The swiftest thing is certainly our gray mare, for nothing passes us on the road. And the sweetest thing must be the honey from our own beehives. As for the richest, what could that be except our own chest of gold coins that we've been saving these last 40 years?
"Wife, you are a clever woman indeed. The heifer is ours." The shepherd made the long walk back to his little cottage, where his daughter Manka was waiting for him.
"What did the burgomaster say, father?"
"He gave me a riddle, and I don't know the answer. Whatever will I say?"
But Manka thought it over, and before her father left for the city the next morning, she gave him the answer.
When he arrived, there was the rich man saying, "The swiftest thing is our gray mare, the sweetest thing our honey, and the richest thing our chest of gold coins. Ha ha ha."
"Hmm," said the burgomaster. He looked at the shepherd. The shepherd removed his cap. He bowed low and softly said, "The swiftest thing is thought, for thought can travel any distance in the twinkling of an eye. The sweetest thing is sleep, for anyone who is sad or tired can find nothing sweeter. And the richest thing, that must be the earth itself, for out of the earth come all the riches of the world."
"Splendid," said the burgomaster. "The heifer goes to the shepherd."
The shepherd could not believe it, neither could the rich man, and he stormed out in a terrible temper. But before the shepherd could leave, the burgomaster stopped him.
"Sir, you are a poor man, and I may say also a simple one. I am sure you never came up with the answer to the riddle yourself. Who told you?"
The shepherd didn't want to admit it, but at last he said, "I have a very clever daughter. Her name is Manka. She gave me the answer."
"Clever Manka, you say? Let us see how clever your daughter is."
He called for 10 eggs, and he gave them to the shepherd.
"Bring these 10 eggs home to your daughter. Tell her if she is really clever that she will be able to hatch the chicks and bring them back to me tomorrow morning."
The shepherd left shaking his head, wondering all the way home how Manka could ever achieve such a feat. But when he gave her the eggs, Manka simply smiled. She found a small sack of millet and handed it to her father.
"Father, please go back to the burgomaster. Tell him that if he will sow this millet, grow it, and harvest it tonight, I will bring him the 10 chicks tomorrow morning, and they will be able to feast on the ripe grain." Again, the shepherd went back into the city, and when the burgomaster heard her answer, he clapped his hands together. "If your daughter is as lovely as she is clever, I will ask her to be my wife at once. Tell her if she would like to marry the burgomaster, she is to come to me neither by day nor by night, neither riding nor walking, neither dressed nor undressed. If she can do that, I will marry her the very day." The shepherd went back home even more bewildered than before, and again Manka simply smiled. She laid awake all night, and before the dawn began to break, she got out of bed. She wrapped a fishnet around herself. She took a little white goat out of the shed, and she threw one leg over it.
She hobbled her way like that into the city, neither riding nor walking. She stood before the burgomaster's house in the moment after night had ended, in the moment before the day had begun. "Burgomaster, burgomaster," she cried out, "it is I, Manka." The burgomaster threw his head out of the window and stared with bleary, sleepy eyes. There was a lovely woman dressed, if you could call it dressed, in a fishnet, with one bare leg over a goat. "That is the woman for me," he said to himself, and they were married the very afternoon. As they left the wedding, the burgomaster looked at Manka. "Manka, you are very clever, and it is what I love about you. But I must ask you to respect that I am the burgomaster. You are not to interfere with my cases. It would be most embarrassing. In fact, if you interfered, I would have no choice but to send you back home to your father. Do you agree?" "Of course," she said, "I would never want to embarrass you." Besides, Manka had her hands quite full running the large household of a burgomaster in the city of Prague. And so things went well for quite some time, but the burgomaster became busier and busier, and one day a case came before him that he did not give his full attention. The case was this. Two farmers had been in the marketplace earlier that morning, one with a mare about to give birth. She had done that right in the market, and the foal, after it had gotten up on its wobbly legs, had run and hid itself under the other man's cart. And the other man claimed that the horse was with his cart and it must belong to him. On any other day, the burgomaster would have said that the foal belonged to the man with the horse. But on this day, his mind was elsewhere, and he said, of course, a horse and a cart go together. The foal belongs to the second man." The first man left with a sad expression on his face, and Manka stopped him in the hallway. When he explained what had happened, she pursed her lips. "If you promise not to tell my husband that I helped you, I will give you my advice. Come back this afternoon, right at noon, when the burgomaster will be eating his lunch. Bring your fishing net and cast it out in the dusty street in front of our dining room window. He will certainly wonder what you're doing, and you must answer that you are fishing. Of course, he will ask what kind of a foolish thing it is to try fishing in the middle of the street, but you must tell him that it is just as easy to catch fish in the road as it is for a cart to give birth to a foal." Off went the farmer to get his fishing net, and at noon, as the burgomaster sat down to eat his lunch, there he saw the strangest sight. He stepped out of his house, and he watched. There was a man fishing in the middle of the road. "What are you doing?"
"I'm fishing, of course," answered the man.
"How do you expect to catch fish in the middle of the street?"
"Well," said the farmer, "it's as easy to catch fish in the middle of the road as it is for a cart to give birth to a horse."
Then the burgomaster recognized him and remembered the case.
Of course, I will put everything to rights.
But you must tell me who put you up to this. You never came up with such a clever plan by yourself." The farmer tried and he tried not to answer the question, but in the end he admitted it had been Manka, the burgomaster's own wife. The burgomaster called Manka into the living room. "Manka," he said, "you have broken your promise, and I will keep mine. You are going home to your father's house this very day. I am so embarrassed. You've humiliated me. But I won't have anyone saying that I treated you poorly, so you may take the one thing that you like best from our house."
"I understand," said Manka, "but we've had a very good time together. Let us share one more meal together. I will have all your favorite dishes prepared, and I will leave tonight when the moon comes up."
It was agreed. That night they sat down to a fine meal of savory meats, creamy cheeses, rich and delicate sauces, and very good wine. The burgomaster uncorked bottle after bottle, toasting to Manka's health, and they had a fine time together, eating and laughing and talking and drinking. The burgomaster grew full, his cheeks grew rosy, his eyelids grew heavy, and just as the moon began to rise, his head dropped back against his chair, and he fell asleep. Without waking him, Manka called two servants and had them carry him out to the cart that was waiting to take her back to her father's house. The next morning, the burgomaster awoke to the sounds of sheep and chickens. He opened his eyes and he found himself in the tiniest little cottage, and there was his wife wearing a kerchief on her head.
"Manka, what is the meaning of this? I sent you away. Where am I?"
"My dear," said Manka,
You told me that I might take the one thing that I liked best from our house, and so of course I took you. The burgomaster stared at clever Manka. And at last he had to laugh at himself. Manka, my dear, you are too clever for me. Come, forgive me. Let us go home. From that day on, the burgomaster never scolded Manka. Instead, when a very difficult case came up, he was known to pause and think and say, "Perhaps we had better ask my wife. You know, she is a very clever woman."